Well, I got a lot of backlash for posting about why I don't trust the judgment of people who originally took the COVID jabs. And I'd posted it on social media as kind of a short, almost flippant type of post. It wasn't a serious discussion. It was just, look, I mean, come on. You know, I just I don't trust the judgment of people who took those jabs after all the discussion. I mean, we talked about it for a year before the vaccines even came out. We all knew they were going to fake the emergency use authorization. We knew they were going to be bioweapons, etc. But anyway, got quite a bit of backlash on that, and people were very unhappy about that comment. So I decided to actually explain where I'm coming from, which is a pro-human point of view. And I typed up a much more explanatory post that I'd like to share with you here. So I'm actually going to read the post for you with some additional explanations. Oops. that's my bowl of cherries right there. I'm eating some fresh cherries. So here it is. Well, it's been more than 24 hours since I first posted my why I don't trust the judgment of people who took COVID jabs comment. And after thousands of shares and comments on that post, some of them quite infuriated, I can confidently report that I still don't trust the judgment of people who took the COVID jabs. The one exception to all this, which I failed to mention in my original post, concerns active duty military personnel, some of whom were literally forced, that is physically coerced, to take the shots. And of course, they are true victims of medical assault in that case. But most of the justifications I saw from people consisted of statements like, well, I trusted my doctor, I trusted the FDA, I trusted the CDC, I trusted the corporate media, I trusted Fauci, etc. So if you trusted those institutions and took the jab, then consider yourself extremely fortunate that you're still living, honestly, right? You must have either received a non-weaponized production batch, or you learn the methods for clearing the spike protein, for reclaiming your health, and eliminating the toxins that were clearly engineered by the Department of Defense and the military pharmaceutical industrial complex to literally kill you. The fact that they failed to kill you, that's a testament to your strength, by the way. But from here forward, you can never blindly trust those authorities ever again. And honestly, you were foolish to trust them at all. I mean, that, I'm sorry just to be blunt about it, but that's the truth. It's foolish to trust any of those authorities. Why? Because they're literally trying to kill you. You are living in an age of engineered mass human depopulation and accelerated extermination, period. And if you had been reading my website anytime in the last 20 plus years, you would have already known that depopulation weapons have been engineered into multiple vectors spanning many decades. Food, vaccines, water, air, pharmaceuticals, you know, even food packaging chemicals, etc. So if you trusted the people who are literally trying to kill you, and you took the jab and managed to survive it, then you know what? Forgive yourself and learn, because you may not get a second chance to save your life, given what's coming. You have to upgrade your skepticism and your critical thinking on all these topics if you want to survive. So from here forward, I suggest follow these very simple rules if you want to stay alive. So I call these Health Ranger rules for staying alive. You'll probably agree with all these. You are responsible for knowing what's in the food you swallow. If you don't know what's in it, don't eat it. You can't say, well, I trusted the, you know, the food manufacturer. I trusted the fast food drive-thru. Really? Did you really? Come on. You are responsible for knowing the effects of the pharmaceuticals that you swallow. If you don't know the side effects and the risks, don't take them. You can look up the side effects to every drug easily. They're all published by the FDA. I mean, you can find them in any search engine or any AI engine. These answers are not hidden, okay? It's just that few people bother to ask. All right, third one. You are responsible for knowing what's in the chemical concoctions that you allow to be injected into your body. If you don't know what's in it, don't consent to being injected, right? You can't say, well, you know, I saw it in the news. They said it's all good. It's just like, okay, roll up your sleeve. Really? Really? Come on. That's never been wise. Just blindly trust. You kidding me? Especially when you know that the vaccine industry has no legal liability. You think they have quality control? I guarantee you, my own food manufacturing facility has more quality control than a lot of these vaccine manufacturers because they have zero liability. They can manufacture vaccines in the most filthy conditions, contaminated with everything. I mean, they could literally just have like yeast and mold and fungi and freaking lead and cadmium and it just throw it all in there. It doesn't matter. We have legal immunity, you know, like they could do that. Maybe they do. They know they can't be sued no matter how many people they kill. Why on earth would you inject that into your body when they have legal immunity? That's crazy. Okay, next one. You are responsible for knowing what's in your cosmetics, in your deodorants, shampoos, laundry detergents, skin lotions, perfumes, sunscreens, and other personal care products that you choose to put on your skin. I mean, I assume that most of my listeners, like, you check the ingredients, right? I mean, otherwise you wouldn't be listening. You check the ingredients. You don't just, you know, swing by Walmart and just, or the dollar store. Let's have dollar store sunscreen, you know? It's like, just grab it off the shelf. Who cares what's in it? Let's just put this all over our skin. No way, man. Not a chance. Are you kidding me? Of course you need to know what's in it. Your skin is your body's largest organ, and it absorbs what you put on it. Okay, finally, you are responsible for your nutritional status. If you're deficient in zinc and magnesium, which probably 95% of the American population is deficient, honestly, that's your own fault. It's your own body. After all, I mean, sorry to sound like I'm lecturing everybody here right now, but hey, nobody else occupies your body, hopefully, other than you. Who else is going to take charge of your nutritional status of your body? I mean, pretty much it's up to you. I mean, you're the one who decides what to eat, what supplements to take, or what to avoid. I mean, your hands are controlled by you. So obviously you decide your nutritional status. And yet, across America today, most people are deficient in vitamin D, deficient in zinc, you know, deficient in vegetable consumption or just phytonutrients, etc. It's shocking. It's like, who did this to you? You know, it's like people are like, I don't know how I'm zinc deficient. Maybe you didn't take zinc, you know, maybe you didn't eat anything that's rich in zinc, like oysters or shellfish or whatever. You know, like, who else did this to you? Who is this mystery entity that made you deficient in zinc? I'm searching around. I'm looking. I've asked psychics who can see dead people, and even they can't find any entities that made you deficient in zinc. Who could it be? Oh, look in the mirror. It's you. It's you. You know what I mean? This is what I want to say to some people. You made you deficient in zinc. Sometimes I have to laugh about this. And by the way, I'm guilty of this sometimes too. I've even talked about this. Sometimes I miss windows of taking the right supplements. I've been deficient myself, so I'm actually kind of mocking myself at times as well. It's our own damn fault if we don't follow our nutritional knowledge. It's our fault. Like, I should have drank more pine needle tea, you know, a month ago. That's my fault. I actually grow pine needles. I have the trees, and I still neglected to drink pine needle tea. It's like, oh my God, that's the dumbest move ever. And I'm guilty of doing that too. So I'm not just railing on you. If you're listening to this, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all of us. If we are deficient in something, that's on us, man. That's on us. Okay, anyway, continuing with my post. Furthermore, you absolutely cannot trust the food industry, of course, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, the cosmetic industry, the pesticide industry, the pharma-funded corporate media, or any government regulator or authority. They simply do not have your best interests in mind, period. They care only about their profits and power. They care nothing about your health and well-being, obviously. In fact, they often profit from your sickness. So you being healthy is a net negative from their point of view. So these are simple rules for being a responsible, mature adult. And as I said in my post, if you cannot follow these rules, then harshly stated, your chances of long-term survival are greatly diminished, period. Five-year-olds aren't expected to read ingredients labels of food products and to research the clinical trials of vaccines. But you are not a five-year-old, right? You are presumably an adult, like me. You and I have a duty and an obligation to know what we are swallowing, or injecting, or putting on our skin. And I know this is harsh for some people to hear this, but this is exactly what Americans need to hear. You are responsible. Not your doctor, not society, not the media, not, oh, Fauci lied to me. You are responsible for what you put in your body. Now, if we blindly consent to being injected with experimental, unproven, unknown substances, then effectively you're making the job of the depopulation pushers ridiculously easy to accomplish. Now, I understand that we live in a weak, pathetic society of weak-minded, easily offended people, and not everybody out there on social media can hear this without losing their shit. But truthfully, if you want to live, you simply must take responsibility for what you choose to put in your body. Period. In 2021, any adult could have easily discovered that the COVID jabs were never approved via rigorous clinical trials. They were only authorized via emergency use authorization, which bypassed clinical trials and required no demonstration whatsoever of safety or efficacy. This information was readily available to everyone who could access the internet. It was widely reported, even in the mainstream media. Pronouncements of this were publicly published by the FDA. Furthermore, people like myself and Alex Jones and Dr. Mercola and Sayer G, Ty Bollinger, etc., and a long list of other people, Sherry Tenpenny, for example, were loudly and repeatedly warning everyone about this very fact. There is literally no legitimate excuse for not knowing this information. As an adult, you have an obligation to know. Any person in the world could have typed naturalnews.com into their browser or mercola.com, and they could have found the truth, along with the links to the published documents admitting these irrefutable facts. But a lot of people found it more convenient to just trust the science and stop thinking for themselves. And for far too many, that was their fatal mistake. And they paid for that mistake with their lives. Yet to this day, people still blindly accept the false authority of mainstream doctors or government agencies like the FDA. And, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but anyone who has that attitude from here forward is all but dead already. The globalist depopulation agenda is counting on you being intellectually lazy and socially obedient. They want you to act like a sheep and follow the herd off the cliff. In fact, they will make it highly inconvenient, painful, and even shameful to oppose whatever agenda they have coming for you next. So if you don't have the spine to stand up and say no to false authority, you're as good as dead already. Period. So, and I say this without regret or hesitation to anyone willing to listen. Either you learn to think for yourself and reject false authority, which I'm assuming most of you listening to this, you're already there. Remember, I posted this to the public at large, right? So I said, either learn to think for yourself and reject false authority, or prepare to join the other fools who blindly trusted Fauci and who are already 6 feet under. I know it's harsh, but it's true. For my part, I will work every day to help educate and inform those who have the will to live. but I will not waste time trying to convince suicidal fools why they are suicidal or foolish. We don't have time for that nonsense. Either get on board with the reality of what's happening in the world, or prepare to be removed from the human gene pool by the anti-human globalists who are running this whole thing. And remember, they are counting on your weakness, your gullibility, your ignorance, and your social conformity. Don't be easy to kill. Don't hand them an automatic depopulation win. If they want to come for you, make them work for it. Resist. Defy. Defend your life with everything you've got. And then, maybe then, humanity might have a chance to overcome this great global evil we all continue to endure under the anti-human crimes of people like Fauci and terrorist cartels like the FDA and the CDC. They want you dead. And they will do everything in their power to convince you to go along with it. All right, so there you go. That's what I posted. And you might say, well, why did I post that? Well, actually, two things that I'm trying to accomplish with that. Number one, sometimes I think that people who are already on board, like probably most of you listening, sometimes it's good to remind all of us the importance of what we're dealing with. These are life or death principles. This isn't a game here. There's no do-overs when it comes to injecting yourself with vaccines, right? There's no do-overs. We have to get this right every time. Now, clearly, those of us who warned about the jabs, we were right from the very beginning. And it's important. And by the way, if you're one of those people, you were right. And good for you. If you are someone who took the jabs and then, you know, you had to recover from that and you probably went through hell to do that, then you're strong now. You're stronger. You're wiser. You learned. You gain a lot of knowledge about how to overcome that. And good for you. Thank God, right? But one reason I post this kind of thing is because I want to underscore these important principles for people who understand what's happening. The second reason I post this is because I actively want people on social media to unfollow my account if they can't handle this. No, I'm serious. I am not interested in chasing numbers of subscribers. I don't even look at the numbers. I don't care. I literally don't want people to follow my account, you know, on X or wherever. If this kind of talk, if they can't handle it, if they're just, I don't know, too neurologically weak or too offended or whatever, or too brainwashed by Big Pharma, they can't handle it. Unsubscribe, man, you know, unfollow, whatever it is. I don't need those people polluting my comment section, you know? I mean, to those people, like, get out. Here's the door. I'm giving you a good reason. Just get out. Because time is short. We don't have time to mess with those who aren't serious about being part of the surviving remnant of human civilization. We don't have time. We're under assault in every vector imaginable. We're under vaccine assault, you know, chemical weapons assault, right? Hormone disruptors assault, pesticides, freaking chemtrails and heavy metals. And then probably coming, you know, Skynet and autonomous killing systems. And they're going to probably take away a lot of our power off the power grid so they can feed it to the data centers. You're going to be left with, you know, rolling blackouts and toxic food and, you know, a CBDC where you only get your monthly stipend of government-controlled programmable money if you agree to be jabbed with their latest depopulation weapon that they hope will kill you so they can turn your corpse into Soylent freaking green. Like, that's what we're facing right now. Ain't got no time for pussies in this situation. You see what I'm saying? Ain't got no time for people living in denial. Just to say it in more of a slang way. This is serious stuff. This is life or death. And for those who want to be part of the future of the human race, we've got to be honest about where we are. We've got to be honest about what's happening. We've got to be honest about the attack on us and our fellow brothers and sisters, our fellow human beings. We are all being targeted for mass global extermination. They're not even hiding it anymore. they had a group come out. I don't know the name of the group, but a group came out and said, yeah, we have to reduce the population from 8 billion to 4 billion people. That was all in the news over the last 2 days. Of course, they said, we want to achieve this by the year 2200. Yeah, right. No, they're trying to achieve it by like 2032, you know, or maybe faster. Who knows? But they're admitting it now. They're admitting they have to reduce the population by 4 billion people. We are watching them unleash the mechanisms by which they could decrease the population by 4 billion people, including mass global famine from the lack of fertilizer stemming from this war in the Middle East, for example. And there are other examples of this. People, I mean, they're poisoning your food. They're saturating it with freaking glyphosate, and the Trump administration is all in favor of that. They defended what was Monsanto, but is now Bayer, which is an offshoot of IG Farben, the Nazi chemical conglomerate that was involved in, you know, chemical weapons against humanity, right? I mean, come on. How many examples do you need before you realize they're trying to kill us? You see, I feel sorry for people out there, just like the regular everyday people who have no idea what's going on. Like, I trust the science, you know, my doctor told me to. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Woo, I wish I had time to try to help you, but you know what? I need to work on these other courses. I'm trying to help, you know, large groups of people as best I can. I don't have time to sit down and lecture one person at a time about why you're on a suicide path, you know? I could spend all day, probably wouldn't even change the minds of anybody, because they're committed to their own suicide via medicine or pesticides or whatever. They're committed to it. And see, the globalists know that. They know that, frankly, killing off 4 billion people on this planet, from the globalist point of view, not that difficult. You know why? Because it's the gullible 4 billion. It's the low-hanging fruit of extermination. They don't even have to hardly do any. I mean, the globalists barely have to try. It's like, all we got to do is like fake an Ebola outbreak and just throw this, you know, this medical suicide concoction, just put it in needles, call it a vaccine, and we'll have legal immunity and just tell everybody to line up and get injected with it. They know that that's the easy 4 billion who will just line up and die while, you know, praising Fauci, by the way. That's, the globalists know that. And then after, let's say if that occurs, if they kill 4 billion, you know, then they'll have to try harder. It's like it's diminishing returns for them at that point. You know, they're going to have to try harder for the next billion, because the next billion is going to be a little more resistant. Like, wait a second. You know, why are the highways so clear? You know, why is there more parking available in New York City? You know, what's going on? And then the next billion after that will be even harder for them to kill, because people are going to start asking questions when, you know, one out of two people die. And think about it. By the time they get to you and I, because we are more informed than like one out of, you know, 10 million people on this planet, probably, or even a greater ratio than that. By the time they get to us, I mean, they won't even get to us, because you and I are going to be so hard to kill. They'll never make it to us. There's always going to be groups that are far easier to kill than us, because we know how to be more self-reliant, right? We know how we can grow our own medicine. You know, we could survive freaking nuclear fallout. We can survive pandemics and chemical weapons and spike protein shedding and vaccine fallout. You know, we know how to survive this stuff. You know, we are self-reliant, intelligent people. Globalists will never succeed at taking us out. But there's like billions ahead of us that they can easily or relatively easily target and largely exterminate. So you see what I'm saying here? I'm trying to encourage some of those people who are in the easy to kill group to like cowboy up and join the hard to kill group. That's all. just join the hard to kill group, you know, because we could use more humans surviving. We need a little bigger remnant, I think. You know, otherwise, what are we going to do when Skynet goes full activation, right? Everybody has to go John Connor. Who knows when that's coming, right? But between now and then, I'm trying to get people to join Team Humanity. That's what I'm doing. And it's only a very small percentage of the public that can even neurologically handle this. It takes a very advanced human being, even a spiritually advanced, a neurologically advanced, a highly intelligent, informed, mature human being to even hear this podcast. If you've even made it this far listening to this, you're already, you know, 1 in 100 million people probably on this planet, because it's so rare for people to be able to handle the truth. But this is where we are. And even if you think, let's say you disagree, like, oh, they're not really trying to kill us all. Well, then they're accidentally killing. I mean, people are dying en masse from turbo cancers, clearly from the jabs, from the mRNA instructions. You know, people are dying from the pesticides and the herbicides and all the chemical exposure and the endocrine system disruptors and hormone disruptors, etc. You know, sperm quality is plummeting, infertility is skyrocketing, like entire populations aren't even reproducing anymore. And I mean, not at sustainable levels like Japan. And, you know, birth rates have plummeted in China and the United States and a lot of Western European countries as well. I mean, we're on the path of a non-sustainable human population, which has Bill Gates all happy. Yay, you know, I'm going to reboot humanity like a Windows operating system. Blue screen of death. But for humans, you know, like that's his dream. I'm just trying to help humanity survive. That's all. Look, whether you agree or disagree with what I've said here, take the parts that work for you. Ignore the parts that don't. That's fine. Use what works. Stay alive, okay? That's what I ask of you. Stay alive. And the only way to stay alive is to be a critical thinker. Don't trust any authorities at all. Period. Don't trust them. They are not trying to keep you alive. You want to stay alive? You got to say no. You got to stand up for yourself, have a backbone, and say, no, I'm not taking your chemical weapon. I'm not going to be injected with your DNA hijacking technology. Or I guess in this case, ribosome hijacking technology for protein synthesis, but it also enters the nucleus sometimes. So I guess it does hijack DNA on occasion. Not supposed to, but it does. So anyway, stay alive. Okay. That's all I ask. Stay alive because we've got work to do together. And in the meantime, you want to follow my work. I'm at naturalnews.com. My videos are at brightvideos.com. Of course, maybe you're watching that now. You can follow me on X at Health Ranger, or unfollow me at X if you don't like what I'm saying. Either way, it's totally fine. Do what works for you, but just stay alive. And thank you for listening. I'm hoping that we can work together and survive this. I think we can, actually. I really do think we can. Those of us who are informed. But for the rest who are uninformed and gullible and ignorant, pray for them because they're not going to make it. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Take care. I saw someone on X, someone that I know, saying in a post that they had decided that for their operation, they do journalism and articles and video reports and things like that. For their operation, they're declaring no use of AI whatsoever. Not going to use AI for grammar checking or typing up things or taking notes or outlines or special reports or anything like that. And then I saw that same person, I'm not going to mention their name because I'm not here. I'm not trying to shame anybody. But I saw that same person then had also posted, it turns out a couple hours earlier, that
they have run out of money and they are needing financial support from their user base in order to continue to operate. And I feel for them because I understand it's very difficult. It's a very difficult competitive content environment right now. But I think that the decision to reject all AI is part of the cause of running out of, you know, financial support. And that's what I want to talk about here today, because I've spoken out very strongly against the AI investment bubble. But at the same time, I use AI every day. I've built AI tools that you use every day, free tools like brightanswers.ai and also brightlearn.ai. And I'm about to announce a new tool. Maybe I'll even give you a little hint here today. But it's also very cool, also free, you know, very useful and boosting knowledge of the public, etc. So I use AI every day. I use AI to build the infographics that you see in my articles on naturalnews.com. And but you'll find that every one of those infographics is painted or illustrated based off of what I'm saying in my podcast. In fact, that's part of the magic, actually, is I take the transcript of what I'm saying right here, and then through a series of very clever translations that I've put together over time, my speech here in this podcast then becomes an infographic. So the infographic reflects my ideas, my speech, my philosophy, which you probably share. And yet, I don't have to run Photoshop for 12 hours a day. I don't have to do the illustration. I don't have to pick the colors and the gradients. I don't have to draw the objects on the infographic. I don't have to deal with the fonts. Why should I? Why should I? It's the idea of the infographic that counts. I can delegate the painting or the graphic design to an AI agent that gets that job done and does it very, very well. That's a smart use of AI. If I were to say that I'm never going to use AI, then I would have to spend many hours a day building an infographic and it wouldn't look nearly as good. Or I'd have to hire somebody to build an infographic. And every infographic would cost me hundreds of dollars easily, instead of what it costs now, which is, you know, just a few cents worth of electricity or what have you. So in my view, it's unwise to reject all AI for the sake of just rejecting AI. If you go back in history, the scribes hated the invention of the printing press. And actually, the candlestick makers did not like the invention of translucent windows. It was actually an effort to stop the manufacture of windows. The candlestick makers said that windows are a crime threat. It invites people to break into your homes because they can see inside. Therefore, we should outlaw windows so that people need more candles. Okay? Yeah. And then again, I mentioned the scribes unhappy about the invention of the press. And then later on, the typewriter manufacturers were probably very unhappy about the invention of the personal computer and the word processing on your desk. Oh my God, word processor. I was going to put the typewriters out of business. It's a bad thing. It takes the humanity out of your typing. That's what they would say, you know. You're typing into a machine. It's not real. And when electronic calculators were invented, you know, we were told by our math teachers, those calculators are going to destroy your minds. They were partially right about that, of course. People, nobody knows how to calculate a 15% tip at a restaurant anymore. Probably because of all those electronic calculators. But anyway, at every stage of technology, there was always a voice warning that that technology had to be rejected. And some religions in particular successfully rejected a lot of technology, like, you know, the Amish, let's say, or the Mennonites. They rejected a lot of technology to a point. But, you know, they're like Amish tourist places you can go, and they're happy to ring up your, you know, your Amish merchandise with their electronic merchant card scanners, aren't they? So, you know, when it's critical to the business model, well, technology's okay. Right? You see what I mean? Nothing against the Amish, by the way. I have great respect for the Amish, and they are very capable people, let me tell you. They, in fact, if the world collapses, the Amish and the Mennonites are all going to be fine. And a lot of Mormons, too, on top of that, come to think of it. But nevertheless, that's a different topic. My point is that at this point in the history of technology, to say that we're not going to use AI at all seems just as crazy as denouncing the typewriter or denouncing the word processor or denouncing the personal computer or denouncing the internet. It's a series of tubes. The internets, or what? No, interwebs. That's what they call them. Interwebs is a series of tubes. And then at first, you know, when the internet became popular in the late 1990s, we were told by a lot of people, that's going to destroy. It's going to destroy your mind. Maybe they were right. I mean, it did later lead to like eBay and then OnlyFans. And I don't know what other kind of bizarre sites, online gambling, a Polymarket. Yeah, but you don't have to go there. That's the thing. You don't have to go there. Same thing true with AI. You don't have to use AI to replace your brain. You can use AI to augment your ideas. And that's the point of this podcast, is use AI wisely, because if you fail to understand how to use AI, you will be left behind. You will become like the Amish of the modern world, in a sense. And again, nothing against the Amish. It's a choice you can make. But if you don't know how to use AI, you will be left behind. And you see, like I said, I use AI every day. And I've said before that using AI gives you the effectiveness of about plus 20 IQ points. It's amazing if you know how to use it. And that's, you don't want to use AI as a mental crutch. You don't want to use it to replace your thinking. You use AI to conduct research. You use AI to express your ideas in a more eloquent manner. I've even had people tell me that they love the AI avatar videos on brightvideos.com because those AI avatars are able to say things in a more succinct way. I think they're kind of ribbing me too. They're like, you take too long to say something, or you say it over and over again. Just get your avatar to say it. It's more compressed information. Yeah, I get it. I understand. But people love the AI avatars on brightvideos.com for that very reason, because it's just to the point, giving you the information that you need. It's a summary with some very good insight. Now, you may have also noticed that since I was able to start leveraging AI engines with my mission and with my, you know, podcasts and concepts and so on, I've been able to publish more and more articles on naturalnews.com every day. Typically now I publish between 2 and 3 articles a day. And sometimes it's up to 5 a day, but usually it's 2 or 3. Now, do I type out every word of every article? Of course not. I give the AI engines my entire concept. Maybe it's a transcript, maybe it's the result of research, along with a bunch of notes and directions. First, AI creates a draft. Then I go through and I take that draft and I flesh it out and I augment it. I can delete, I can correct things. I will change titles and subheads. I will add new explanations, etc. And I'll make sure that it's consistent with what I wanted to say on this topic. So yes, I use AI to be more efficient at communicating through every different format, every media, whether it's article content or infographics or avatar videos or even podcasts. For example, how many times have I told you in the middle of a podcast that I'm going to have AI research agents, you know, check this out and find something? And they do. And then I cover that. And it makes you more effective. It makes you smarter. It makes you better at your job if you're still willing to engage your brain. And if you're doing something that you feel passionate about, AI can be a very powerful tool for you. That's the correct way to use AI. That's the way I use it, and that's the way I advocate using it. On the other hand, the lazy way to use AI that will rot your brain is to let the AI decide what your article should be about. Let AI write it and don't even look at it. Are you kidding me? It's just, that's the ChatGPTification of the human brain. It's ChatGPT brain rot is what that is. And that's what's happening in the universities. And I see that happening in the MBA schools. I've spoken about that. The MBA students are barely doing any of their own homework now. Everything's just ChatGPT. And I've seen it with programmers as well. Oh, I've seen a lot of it with programmers. They're just letting, you know, some coding agent write their code. I've actually come up with some pretty clever tests to give to potential coding people to force them to think through the problem. And then I know if they're actually thinking or just letting, you know, ChatGPT write the code. So AI can be one of the greatest tools for humanity. It can make you more effective at your mission, your job, whatever you're doing in your life, or it can cause brain rot. If you're lazy, if you just turn over everything to AI, like you figure it out, you do it, you make all the decisions, and I'm just going to go eat a hamburger or whatever. So you see, it's not the tool. It's the way people use the tool that matters. Like here's a similar example. How many of you have a parent or a grandparent that went to a nursing home or a retirement community of some kind? And when they went in, they could walk. And then in that retirement center, somebody gave them an electric scooter. And so they were able to sit and just scoot around all day on that scooter. And then how many of those people 6 months later could no longer walk? You've seen that, right? You've seen that. I've seen that. Most of us have probably seen that. What's going on? How is it that they could no longer walk? And why did their health go downhill so rapidly? Oh, well, because the convenience of the scooter made it so that a lot of them just said, well, I don't even need to walk anymore. I'm just going to sit on the scooter and let it drive me around everywhere. And then they stopped walking, and then they lost the ability to walk. Well, that's what happens with people's brains. If you just use AI to replace your brain, then you will stop thinking. And then you will have like a cognitive sedentary lifestyle, let's say. Brain rot. And yeah, you'll get dumbed down and stupid. And then you'll have to lean on AI for everything because you forgot how to think. But, I mean, that's the trap, but that's not the correct way to use AI, obviously. The way to use AI is to augment your intelligence. And so swearing off all AI is not the answer. What we should be doing, in my opinion, is saying, yes, we're going to learn how to use these important revolutionary tools in a way that is consistent with mental fitness. We're going to make sure we still use our brains. We're going to make sure that the ideas come from us, that we are the innovators, the entrepreneurs, the thinkers. We use AI to serve us, not to enslave us. That's the difference. So I'm going to continue to use AI every day, and thank God, because as a result, I've been able to increase the content, do more research, produce more visual infographics that people are absolutely loving, that make instant sense to lots of people. I've been able to build these platforms like BrightLearn. I've been able to publish over 60,000 free books that people are enjoying every day all over the world in multiple languages now. And I'm very close to hitting 1,000 audiobooks being completed, to the point where you'll be able to listen to all the audiobooks anytime you want, completely free of charge, even without having to download them. Although you always have that choice. None of this was possible without AI. So just think about what AI can enable when it's used for good and when it's used responsibly in the hands of someone who is an advocate of human cognitive health. Just like I'm an advocate of physical fitness and nutritional fitness, but also cognitive fitness. You have to use your brain every single day. That's why when I'm out jogging, what am I doing? I'm studying Chinese. I force myself to do it, even though, yeah, it's like, I'd rather not do Chinese lessons today. I'd rather just jog around and enjoy nature. But I force myself, because I have that discipline, to say, I need to exercise my brain.
if I don't hear a little bit of Mandarin Chinese every day, then I'm going to lose it, you know? So I force myself to hear it every day. I'll go through language reviews and vocabulary reviews, and I'm speaking out loud, etc. And that's what we have to do with every area that we want to keep active, whether it's our math or our English. That's why I'm writing every day part of the articles, or I'm augmenting the articles, or I'm editing and fixing articles every day. Keep it alive. Keep your brain active and engaged in every one of these processes. Even in my lab, I'm troubleshooting problems at the lab, I'm solving problems there, or I'm interviewing people. And in interviewing them, we're doing a lot of research up front, and then we're putting together all kinds of questions and parsing that interview in real time in order to ask insightful questions. These are all brain exercises, and this is critical. These kinds of things. So whatever it is that you can do in your life, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could be even simple things, doing crossword puzzles. You don't have to be writing, you know, Substack articles every day, although that's a great exercise too. You'd be building birdhouses, you know, keep your hands busy, stay up to date on the skills. Like, I'm operating farm machinery on a regular basis. And by the way, right now I'm also setting up a solar system. And I had no idea how to set up a solar system. And so I'm having to learn it. And this is actually, you're going to find this odd, but it's true. I decided I'm not hiring a solar installer. And you might think, well, that's crazy. You should hire a professional installer because it's dangerous. It's like, yeah, I've heard that before. I know enough about electricity to not do stupid things. And I bought insulated tools and I have insulated gloves, and I'm using AI to walk me through every step. Also, like, where do I install, you know, the disconnects? Where do I install the fuses? What kinds of fuses? What are the ratings of the fuses, etc.? I am forcing myself to learn how to be a solar installer. Because, I mean, why? Not only is it brain exercise, but it's also because I got to rely on myself to fix the damn thing. If something goes wrong, I can't just call somebody all the time. Can you come fix my broken solar system? No. You got to be able to self-maintain. That's why I fix my tractor. That's why I, you know, whatever. I mean, that's why I run my own data center, my own local AI hardware. I insisted that I run my own local AI hardware because I don't trust the cloud services. I don't trust big tech. I don't trust their pricing. I don't trust their privacy. Nothing. So I run as much as I can locally. Same thing with electricity. The reason I'm building a solar system myself is to become competent in knowing how to do it. End of story, right? That's critical. And in my opinion, we should all have basic skills in AI. You should have basic skills in, you know, AR-15. You should know how to run a rifle, how to run a pistol. You should have basic skills how to change a tire. You should have basic skills in, I don't know, all kinds of things, right? I mean, like, how to stop bleeding. There's a good one. How do we stop bleeding? Especially if someone's bleeding out. How do you stop their bleeding? You know, that's a very important skill. I did a whole course on that. I think it was called, in fact, I think that course was called Stop the Bleeding. It was a combat course with live fire and, like, blood stop, you know, all kinds of, I mean, they had a freaking mannequin out there with holes in it. And we're like stuffing, you know, cloth into the holes. I did that kind of stuff. Why? Because I need to know how to do it. I want to know how to do all these things. AI is not going to solve those kinds of problems, is it? We all need to be competent in all the skills of our modern society. AI is one of those skills. So don't reject it out of hand, or you'll be missing. You'll have a giant gap in your skill set. You already have all these other skills. You know how to grow food. You know how to preserve food. You know how to cook food. You know how to make some of your own medicine, whatever. You know how to do first aid. You know pet care. You know goat care. You know dog care. You should know AI, at least the basics, in order to be a well-rounded person in our modern society. At least that's my take on it. All right, so if you want to use my free AI tools, by the way, Brightlearn.ai is the book publishing site, and you can generate your own books there for free. I had to add a little disclaimer on all the book pages now that says, the presence of this book does not imply endorsement by this platform, because some people were creating some pretty wild books. some books that, I don't know, they kind of bypassed somehow some of the guardrails, because we don't want the site to be used for any kind of, you know, malicious purpose. It's all about uplifting knowledge. That's the point of the site. So anyway, you can use it for free there, brightlearn.ai. You can also use our free AI research engine at brightanswers.ai or brightnews.ai, which tracks all the breaking news in real time. And then you can see my videos at brightvideos.com or read articles at naturalnews.com. And then finally, one more thing, you can follow me on Telegram at RealHealthRanger or on X at HealthRanger or on brighteon.social at HealthRanger. So through all those means, you'll be able to track whatever I'm putting out there. And I do have some really fun stuff coming soon on the solar systems. And I'll just say this very last thing. If you want to see the preview of what we have coming, here it is. play.brightlearn.ai. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Enjoy. I'll talk to you later. Welcome to today's interview. We've got a great guest for you, returning guest, Dr. Alfonso Manzo, who is the author of an extraordinary new course that will revolutionize your health. And he's here to tell you all about it. And it's going to start streaming pretty soon, free of charge, at brightyou.com. We'll tell you about that and how to register and watch it for free. So welcome to the show today, Dr. Manzo. It's great to see you again. How you been?
Doing great. Thank you for having me again.
Well, I'm just so happy to see you because I love the conversations that we've had previously, and I've been wanting to get you back on. I also heard that the authorities were really trying to silence you and trying to terrorize you. The audience may have heard about that. So can you just give us an update on how you're doing with that?
Yeah, so this is kind of full circle, right? I think the last time we spoke, we were talking about the same topic, the Aleph Tau body system, and about the book and everything. And we were hoping to do some more training on that. And then not long after that recording, of course, we had the raid with the FDA. So they raided the health ministry clinic here and my home and stole a lot of stuff. Just took it, and it's been over 2 years, so no charges. They're not really doing anything with it. I think it was a lot of scare tactics. So that's where I've been. So for the last 2 years, when, you know, it's like, what happened to Dr. Manzo? Well, I've been trying to recover from that. So that's what we've been doing.
And okay, now that we're pretty well recovered. They terrorized you, is what it's. I mean, they raided, they stole a bunch of computer equipment and things and instruments.
Probably about $80,000 worth of equipment, I estimated.
And then they just, like, you haven't heard from them since.
Nope.
What the hell?
And thanks
man?
To your audience here, yeah. That kept us going.
Yeah.
Because when we did that Aleph Tau body show, I don't know if you remember.
I do remember
the book, but somehow you lost the video for a while, and then you found the video. And then there was editing issues, so it didn't get released right away.
Now I'm remembering that detail.
And so what happened? Delayed. We got raided, and then like 3 days after the raid, you guys got it all put together, and everything was ready, and you released it. So all kinds of people bought books, and that's what kept us going.
Wow!
If it wasn't for that, we probably would have had to close because of the financial loss.
So in a weird way, actually, the delay was perfect because the timing brought you revenues to help you survive FDA terrorism.
Yes.
Wow.
And so now we're back to help people with a course to actually learn it better. Because I know a lot of people say, well, I got the book, but still doesn't make sense. So
yeah,
we're going to take you step by step.
Well, I tell you, the providence of the Lord moves in strange ways. So, you know, bringing us back together again, here we are. So let's talk about it. So we have this course of yours. It's called the Aleph Tav, and that you're going to have to, well, we'll show it on the screen so people can see how that's spelled. It's Aleph, A-L-E-P-H, dash, or space, T-A-V, or I guess it's a dash, T-A-V, personal restoration class. So this is something that
is new to a lot of people. I remember when I interviewed you last time, I was like, what? I've never even heard of this, because you're the creator of it. So tell us what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. So in simple terms, I think most people are probably familiar with the idea that the body has a lot of different energy pathways.
Yes.
And different energy systems. So most commonly known is acupuncture, where you have acupuncture points and you have meridians. So this is very similar, but different. So in this system, there are energy pathways, there are energy points, and there's something we call cycles, which is kind of how the body is organized. But these points and pathways are different than the acupuncture because they're much deeper. Mm-hmm. I would kind of see this as like the roots in the seed of the plant. And then as that spreads out, it starts becoming the base and the trunk and then the branches and then the leaves. So it's not that the other systems aren't important. It's just there's systems that are a little bit deeper. And in this system, everything is related to a master control point on the body, like a telecommunication center. And those points are directly related to the Hebrew letters. And thus the naming of this, Aleph Tav, that's actually the first and last letter in Hebrew.
Oh, okay. So it's like saying A to Z.
Yes, yes. So this is kind of like the language of God on the body. And what's fascinating is all you have to do is touch these points with your hands, and that stimulates the energy circulation and coherence in the body. You don't have to use needles. You don't have to rub. You don't have to press really hard. It's this very, very light touch. So this was something that was known with ancient man thousands and thousands of years ago and kind of has been lost. So I'm trying to rediscover and bring it back to today. So
okay,
that's kind of like in the nutshell what Aleph Tav body is.
All right, so let me mention one thing and ask you a question. So obviously, every area on the body that you're talking about touching, obviously it is connected to the brain. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the sensation of touch. And obviously, it's living areas. Otherwise, there wouldn't be living cells and blood circulation and warmth, etc. So is it correct that what you're doing is actually stimulating the entire neurological system and the how that drives the physiological response? Is that maybe one way to describe it?
Yes. So I would say it's very, it's holistic, right? And vitalistic. So, if you're naturopathic vitalist like myself, and a lot of holistic healthcare out there is vitalistic, which means we believe in a vital force, right? That sustains the body.
Yes.
And that the body has an innate wisdom. Well, you can think of this system as the vital force. It is the innate wisdom of the body. So it's right. Directly related to all levels of the body. It's going to be related to your spirit, your soul, the physical body. So when you're working on it, you actually get correction in all areas of the body, not just biochemical.
Okay. So in traditional Chinese medicine, something similar would be called qi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I would say this is actually working with the breath of life.
Got it.
And then as the breath of life starts becoming this electromagnetic system in the body, we're interfacing right in between those two levels.
Okay, that makes perfect sense because, and I want to remind the audience that, you could say physically we are made of carbon and some calcium and minerals and some water. But if you had a pile of carbon over there and a pile of calcium and magnesium and a jug of water, that's not a person. And that's not living, and that's not respirating and creating, right? So there's something qualitatively different about a living system than just a pile of atomic elements, right?
Correct.
Yeah, even though mainstream medicine treats you as a pile of elements.
So that they have that more reductionist viewpoint, right?
Yeah, that you are nothing other than your material mass.
Yeah.
Right. But they don't even understand cellular energy. Why can cells be more energetic sometimes and then a lot less energetic? Well, they would try to explain it with ATP or mitochondria health, but there's more to it. And that's what you're getting to. There's this other layer behind it. So no wonder the FDA raided your office because what you're describing requires no expensive pharmaceuticals.
That's right. That's right. We're going back to the original idea of the body can heal itself. if you give the body what it needs. Back to natural law, right?
Right. Okay, so let me get this straight then. So this is a skill, knowledge and skill that mm-hmm. anyone can learn, and then they can immediately start to use it on themselves, correct?
Correct.
And is it as simple as,
And that's the idea of this one. We're calling it personal restoration. So it's kind of like, you know, doctor heal thyself, patient heal thyself. So the big textbook we talked about the last time is kind of a textbook that goes through like history and the science and how you can apply it to other people and yourself. Now, most people, quite honestly, are only interested in how can I help myself right now, right? Because maybe they don't want to be a practitioner. Maybe they don't want to be, you know, putting the time to work on family. Maybe they do. But most people want to start with themselves. So the whole idea of this course is how can you use it on yourself?
Okay. And then are there also practitioners that treat other people with this system?
Yes. And then there's families, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of times you have mothers and stuff who learn this so they can work on their whole family. And that's the nice thing with the self-help is if you can learn that, then you can teach your family too. You know, this is what you do with your own hands because who has time all day to be working on someone else?
Got it. Okay. So what a typical, let's say a session or a self-treatment, mm-hmm. how long does this take?
Okay. So if you're working on yourself, it could be as short as 5 minutes till I would say maybe the longest application if you're working on yourself is 4 or 5 steps. So that might be a half hour.
Okay.
Most of the applications when you're working on yourself is probably 5 to 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. And then does your course teach people kind of a recipe based on their particular health challenges or health goals?
Yeah, but it's less disease focused.
Okay.
In other words, we're not just going to say, oh, if you have this disease, then do this. Because it's not really allopathic. Instead, we teach the principles of what system in their body is not working. All right, it's your cardiovascular system. Okay, these are the points that control the cardiovascular system.
Okay.
But then go work on these points. Or this is the pathway that travels through the heart. Work on that pathway.
Okay. All right.
So it's a more holistic way of thinking. So we're not thinking of terms of disease, but in terms of function.
And what kinds of recoveries or healing transformations have you seen or have people told you from using this knowledge?
Pretty amazing things. Pretty amazing things. So just about anything you can think of. So let me tell you the most significant. And then we'll get into some of the least. We had one person once who had a severed spinal cord. So they were paralyzed, waist down. And this took a lot of work, but we taught them how to work on themselves. And then they would come in maybe once or twice a week for a practitioner to work on them. Probably did that for about a year. But, you know, the spinal cord completely came back together and they walked again. So that's pretty significant.
The
other things that are significant are like emergency applications, like stopping a heart attack with your hands works every time. Stopping anaphylactic shock with your hands works every time. Stopping choking, burns. There's all kinds of emergency applications.
Wait, hold on a second. Stopping heart attacks with your hands?
Yeah.
So there are certain points that can bring a person out of an active heart attack?
Yes. Yep.
Does it require aggressive pressure or is it light touch?
Just light touch.
So why wouldn't every paramedic want to know this? Or, you know, why wouldn't they teach this? I mean, I guess I already know the answer, but
that is a great question.
Yeah. What would you say to someone asking that?
I think the system doesn't want people to know. And you'd be surprised at how many doctors have learned about this. And, you know,
really
how we tried to reach out to different organizations and even military and stuff. And usually it's kind of we'll let the people know this is available. And if they want to use it, they can, but we're not going to endorse anything type of concept. Right. So they don't want to really get behind it, but they're like, oh, well, people can make their individual choices.
But as a as a culture, though, you know, we in America, we've been taught that we have no control over our own health outcomes, and that only a doctor, only a drug. In fact, the crazier the drug and the more side effects, the more powerful it must be. You know, that's what we're taught, right? So if like if your hair is falling out and you're vomiting and you're like crapping blood, it's like it must be working. That's the way people are. So yeah. It's kind of hard for our culture to believe that, no, wait a second. You can actually heal yourself through touch, and it doesn't require crazy chemicals or a scalpel or radiation or whatever.
And, you know, another way to look at this, too, is this is like working on the body's software. So if you can think of the body having software and the body also has hardware, right? Well, how does all the chemicals in the body know what to do? How do the cells know what to do? Well, we were talking about it. There's this innate wisdom in the body. The body knows how to heal itself. The body wants to heal itself. It's trying to heal itself all the time. How's that working? Well, there's actually an energetic software to the body that all works through light and frequency circulation of the body.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think just recently with some of these hearings and stuff we've been having in Senate and everything, there were some documents coming out about the CIA admitting that like since the 1930s, they knew that the body was electromagnetic and works based on light and frequency, and chemistry really isn't needed. And so what gives the chemistry the directions? Well, that's the body's software. So when you're working on this system of the body, you're correcting the software level of the body so that all the tissues in the cells have the proper information and energy. You could think of energy as a battery, the power, right? Voltage. The different organs and cells in the body do need energy, but they also need the information to know how to function correctly. And that's what you're setting correct. So then when you set correct the informational level of the body and the body has the right software, all of a sudden your chemicals and the cells in the body know what to do and how to do it.
See, that's really, that's fascinating that you say that, because I'm teaching a course right now on the biochemistry of chromosomal repair, you know, genetic repair, genetic resilience. And in order to teach the course, I had to study everything that's taught about, you know, genetics and biochemistry, and all the course material, it's the same. It will tell you things like, oh, here's a BER mechanism, base excision repair. And then this enzyme notices an injury or a lesion on your DNA, and then it snips out a segment and it gets rid of that. And then this other, you know, polymerase enzyme comes along and it repairs it. And then this ligase comes along and it glues it together. And I'm like, but how do they know what to do? Like nobody ever explains. How did you know it's injured? How did you know what to do? How does an enzyme know what to do? Cause I'm pretty sure an enzyme doesn't have a nervous system, you know? So there's some kind of orchestration going on that is way beyond what modern biochemistry even understands.
Correct. Behind the scenes. And, you know, that kind of like the fingerprint of God. So he created us very uniquely, and that whole system is running, whether we realize it or not. And so really the directives are just telling the body how to do it, right? Uh-huh. So the innate wisdom says, hey, there's that enzyme. Tell that enzyme to go do this, right? Which is fascinating, because that means we can heal DNA.
Oh, we absolutely can heal DNA. That's
right.
That's actually
the information is from the outside.
That's the focus
coming from the creator.
Totally.
That's right.
That's what's amazing. Yeah. Like mutations can be just corrected. Breaks can be healed. I mean, this, whatever. Look, I don't mean to talk about my course. I want to talk about your course. Let me give out the URL here. Brightyou.com is where you can go right now. You can register for free to watch this entire course. One episode streams on a loop each day, begins August 8th, coming right up. And then each day you have another, you know, another chapter from the course. And you can also optionally purchase the course, which allows you to download the whole thing with all the materials right away. So you can watch it the way you want to watch it. And you'll also have the files copied to your local system. So you never need, you know, internet access again to have the course. And of course, if you do purchase it, it helps support us and Dr. Monzo's work and clinic, etc. So I want to encourage people to register for that. So there's a lot of material in this course, actually. I mean, it has more chapters than most courses that we offer. Can you walk us through some of what is presented?
Yeah, so basically what we're doing is walking you through the philosophy and the theory of the energy systems of the body and how they work. That's the first part. So that covers a lot of the big book. Now, most of this course is actually going through the ebook. So we have an ebook, which is just for self-help, how to work on yourself. And you get that book free with the course. And so most of the course is actually going through that book, but it also applies to the big book. So if a person has the big book, they can go through the course as well. And so after the philosophy, then it gets to, okay, what are the different points? What are the different pathways? What are the cycles? And then we get into how would you apply your hands to the body to work on each point, each pathway. And as we're covering the points and the pathways, we're explaining, or I'm explaining, what does that point relate to mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically? What systems of the body does it control? So you kind of get an idea of what points control what, and then actually how to apply your hands on the body to affect that point in the body.
Okay. All right. So I'm really intrigued by this for so many reasons. One is that this spans the spectrum of belief systems. So on the religious and biblical and spiritual side, mm-hmm. you know, Christ would heal by laying his hands on mm-hmm. people, right? So mm-hmm. Clearly something's going on there. But also then one of the images there looked like typical chakra patterns that you might find in something people might call New Age medicine, which focuses on the different, you know, chakra energy centers and so on. Your course isn't beholden to one particular belief, though, is it? It's a universal healing course. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, I would say anyone can use it.
Any human.
It's just about how the body.
Let's be clear. Any human.
Any human. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because there are different things out there.
The ET course is coming next month. That's a little bit. The points move around a little bit for the grays. You know. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't know how it works for transhumanists. I don't know, but
transhumanists.
It's not really for them. It's for us,
transhumanists. But. Is like a USB port you have to plug in. You know.
Yeah, but these points and pathways are universal. All humans have them.
Okay.
And like you're talking about chakras, we call them the wheels of light, which that's what a chakra actually means, is a wheel of light.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's actually part of the system. So right. A lot of other systems have incorporated a lot of these things. Oftentimes, you'll find there's a point at the same location as an acupuncture point.
Right.
So sometimes people mistaken, they go, oh, you're using, you know, gallbladder 20. And it's like, well, no, it just happens to be at the same location.
I see.
But just like anything in the body, I mean, things overlap, you know,
if I go to
any tissue in my body, I could find a bone and a muscle and a nerve, and all those things happen to be at the same location. And based on how you're influencing them, they do different things.
But so. Isn't it interesting that so many different systems of medicine throughout world history have arrived at similar observations, you know, Ayurvedic medicine mm-hmm. with chakras and energy centers, and then traditional Chinese medicine with acupuncture points, like you said, and the meridians, lung meridian, you know, liver, gallbladder, what have you. So clearly this is universally observed mm-hmm. and your system just makes it what, just easier to follow? Is it like just a menu system of what to do and how to do it, or?
Correct.
Is that okay? Yeah. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I mean, no, you tell me.
It's like each one is like an application, we call it. And then an application has different steps. And it might be one step, it might be five steps. You know, if you're working on someone else, the applications are much longer. They could be five steps, maybe 10 steps. And all that is each step is place your left hand here, place your right hand over here, wait 5 minutes or until you can feel pulses. Some people feel the energetic pulses. You don't have to, you could just go by time. And then it will say step two, your right hand moves to the 14 and you'd move the hand. So it's like step by step, almost like Simon Says.
And how difficult is it to be accurate with the placing the hands on the right points?
Yeah. You don't really have to be super accurate. I used to be more specific about that. But in my research of measuring these things somewhere, I don't know, might have been about 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I was measuring the effective range of the points for touch. And okay. It comes out to be about five inch diameter.
Oh, wow.
Which is really large. I mean, you really can't miss. Like a point on your face here, you really can't miss that.
Yeah.
Because the 5 inch would take up the whole face. So you don't have to be pinpoint accurate with these points like acupuncture.
Okay.
And the other difference is you only have one control center for every Hebrew letter. Well, there's only like 22 letters. So you don't have thousands of points like in acupuncture.
Uh-huh.
So in some ways, it's complicatedly simple. It's like a really simple system to learn how to use, but it could be really detailed and complicated if you want to make it that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
You know what I mean?
All right.
It's like if you understand the principles, you're going to do just fine. But okay. If you want to get into the details, you can. And you can get really detailed, but you don't need to. You just need to know the basic principles.
Now, acupuncture, I'm a strong advocate of traditional Chinese medicine, by the way. Acupuncture, pulse analysis, Chinese herbalism, they're all very, very valuable. But not everybody's okay with the acupuncture needles, which they're very thin. Normally, you can't feel them. But there are a couple of points that I think were chosen based on how painful they could be. It's like... You know, 1,000 years ago, you know, some Chinese medicine doctor is like, move it 1 centimeter to the left where it hurts more, you know, but for the most part, they don't hurt at all. But for some people, they just don't want that. So what's remarkable about your system that's worth mentioning, you know, is its non-invasive nature. Mm-hmm. Does it ever hurt? I mean, it seems like it would never hurt to go through this.
Well, for the most part, it does not.
Okay.
Now, sometimes when you're doing the hands-on, you can experience all kinds of things. And it's not uncommon sometimes if a person has extreme congestion in an area of the body for them to feel pain while you're applying the application. And then as the pain dissipates, the energy clears up and goes away. And that's usually because pain is a signal that energy is not circulating in the body. So it's actually a symptom that the body is giving you to say, hey, look, there's a problem over here.
I see.
And so when you start getting energy moving, you can get a little bit discomfort sometimes, but you just work through it and then it fades away and then you've taken care of the problem.
Okay, very cool. So next question is, normally you're using hands to do this. Mm-hmm. And is that an essential part of this? Because there's a circuitry through the hands, through the body. Like, well, I guess what I'm asking is if somebody touched you with a pole instead of hands at those point, like, because you know how doctors, like mainstream doctors, are afraid to touch people for the most part. It's like, oh, let's put on, have to have gloves and have to have paper and have, like, you wear this gown. I don't want to get close. It's just bizarre. But would this work with inanimate objects, or does it require hands?
No, it requires more of the hands.
Okay.
And so what happens is, because of the circulation of energy creates polarity.
Right.
So your left hand's negative, right hand's positive. So that's really what's happening, is it's the polarity that's making the difference. Now, however, I have found other modalities that do help stimulate the points to some degree, but not as significant as the hands. Like light and sound frequencies, specific frequencies. And just recently I released... Aleph-Tau body patches, and these are energetic patches that reflect light on the body, and they're programmed with the frequencies related to the points, and they're actually made to be different polarities without using magnets, kind of high tech. And so you can put the patches on the different locations of the body, and it's very similar to using your hands, but not quite the same. I don't know, there's something about how the Creator created us with our hands.
Sure.
That we just can't imitate.
Absolutely.
That's what's amazing with the Aleph-Tau body system, is you don't need anything else other than your hands.
Yeah,
so it's one of those modalities cool. That, you know, if you're out in the wilderness and something happened to you, if you know how to use your hands, you can still heal yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's critical, especially, I mean, or maybe you're traveling to a developing nation, you're trying to help the people there, but you don't have any, you know, medical supplies. What do you do? And just to be clear, I don't think you're claiming that this
will solve, you know, food poisoning or malaria or whatever. There are, like, this has its proper use, right? But, you know, it's not like if someone, you know, cuts an artery with a saw, they should use a tourniquet, not laying hands on, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's an appropriate use of this. And then there are
Always an appropriate use.
Yeah.
However, we do have a stop bleeding application.
Oh, there is a stop bleeding application.
That works amazing.
Okay.
In fact, we had one person, he was doing word work on the, you know, the frame, what is it called? Molding that goes around the wall.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he was using some type of hacksaw or something. And I guess he slipped and it hit him in the leg.
Oh, not
good. And he had a hole that was down to the bone. And luckily his parents had taken the course. So they immediately applied the Aleph-Tau body. And they took pictures, and when they were done, they showed us, and it was only one tau, had a little bit of blood on it. It was less blood than a bloody nose. They took him to the hospital. He got to the hospital. He has this big hole in his leg. It's not bleeding. They're looking at him like, how is it not bleeding? What are you guys doing? And they told him, and they were like, no, that couldn't have worked.
I'm sure.
But I think he had to have like 40-some stitches on three layers of the body to close it up. So we have seen some pretty miraculous things with this.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Okay, that's pretty wild. Be careful with, folks, be careful with chainsaws and table saws and any kind of saw. You know, people lose fingers and hands all the time and legs to chainsaws. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if we can ever put a finger back on. I've never had a limb fall off and attached. I have not done that.
But, you know, I almost severed my finger. It's been a couple of years now, almost my index finger. And, I mean, it destroyed ligaments and nerves and blood vessels and everything. And I did not go to the emergency room. And I healed it with nutrition, lion's mane mushroom to rebuild nerves. And I healed it with tuning forks. So I use vibrational medicine I use tuning forks to drive vibrations into the bones and ligaments. And laser. I used what's called a blue light laser is what I use, plus sunlight. So I was using some of the modalities that you talk about, plus nutrition. And today, like literally no one could even, there's not even a scar. No one could know that it was ever almost cut off. And all the nerve sensations came back and everything. And now I'm a speed cuber. I do Rubik's Cube. I learned cubing as a rehab for my finger.
There you go.
So
see, the innate wisdom knew what to do.
That's true. And what's weird is that it didn't bleed very much and it never hurt. It literally never hurt. Not from the moment of the injury. It didn't hurt at all. Never hurt. And I kept expecting, well, surely it's going to start hurting, you know, which was a stupid thing to believe. You know, but I guess I had a better inner wisdom. It was like, no, it doesn't have to hurt. It doesn't have to. And it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, wow. Okay. Well, again, the course is at brightu.com. That's Brighton University. So just go to brightu. That's the word bright followed by the letter U, brightu.com. You can register. You can watch the course. You can watch one episode each day free of charge. And it goes on a streaming loop for the whole day. It's the whole course. Look at all these episodes. And you can also, of course, optionally purchase the course and download it with all the material as well. What have you included with the download on this? What do people get?
So they get the Aleph-Tau Body second version ebook. There's a whole thing called the Healthy Foundation course. So this is a course that we put together that basically takes you through like the foundations of natural health from a naturopathic perspective. There's another course on there that's called the Aleph-Tau Body Introductory Course, which we're including for free. And that has more basic information on how to understand the book, how to apply an application, how you apply your hands, and really basic stuff. So that introductory course is also involved. And then there's a number of different ebooks and included in the Healthy Foundation pack is actually all of my original Al Aftab Body radio shows. So I did radio show for a couple years. It was like 2015 to, I think, 18. And so I cover all kinds of different topics, from electromagnetism to nutrition to diet to sleep, you name it.
Really?
And they're all in MP3 format because it was a radio show. It wasn't it was audio. It wasn't video. And all of that is in the course.
Okay, hold on a second. I have something to offer you on that. If you will send me those MP3 files, which I guess our staff already has, but maybe if you send it to me directly, I will do something for you on this. I'll have it transcribed into text and then completely normalized. And then I'm just about finishing up an AI engine that I'm writing that takes a transcript and builds a stack of infographics that explain the concepts that were being spoken about.
Oh, that's cool.
So I could, if you give me permission, I could run this through my system and it could create these infographics, and I'll brand it, you know, with your course name. I'm not sure I could get this done like before the course launches, but this is something we could add to the course if you're open to it.
Yeah, sure. That's awesome.
Okay. Well, we'll try it and we'll see if the images come out and they, if, you know, you would have to approve them. Like, do they match what you're explaining? Mm-hmm. Hopefully they would match, you know. If they don't, then we don't have to use them. But I'm working on this for my own course. I'm doing the same thing. So I'd love to do it with your course. It'd be super awesome. And ultimately these images, which I would just send you all the images. You could use them on your website, in your videos, whatever.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Okay. You could even show them to the FDA the next time they show up, like ward them off like anti-demon symbols or something.
They'll probably take them anyways.
They'd probably take them. Yeah. And then they'd probably, you know, they couldn't touch them without, you know, melting or something. But anyway, just putting that out there. That's an offer. Is there anything else that people need to know about this course? Or
I think one more thing, and because this gets confusing for some people, because it is hands-on, and sometimes I refer to it as like almost a laying on of hands with information. But what I think people misconstrued then is sometimes they think this is like divine laying on of hands, like we're performing miracles here. And we're not claiming this is biblical divine healing. I'm not saying that can't happen. You know, if God wants to show up and heal you, it can happen. But this is more like naturally supernatural, not supernatural.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense to me, because I would say that we are already created in the image of God.
That's right.
And God already created in us the potential for self-healing. So it's both divine and local at the same time.
Yep. So I call it naturally supernatural.
Naturally supernatural. Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Right.
But it does bring up a really interesting question that I wanted to ask you anyway. If you have someone else doing this on your body, let's say that, you know, you have another practitioner that's their hands are touching the points or whatever. And I don't mean this to sound weird, but how much does the attitude and the energy of that person matter in what's happening with you? Because I don't want like an angry person touching me, imparting energy, like angry energy. I want a healing person.
Yeah, that's right. So the intention is important, and the person's attitude. And then, you know, there's always spiritual aspects there too.
Yeah.
With who's touching you. So you do want to be careful on who touches you. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, any more guidelines?
If someone else is working on you, you know, if you have the right person, it can be a lot more thorough and effective, just because typically if someone else is working on you, they can touch points that you can't. So the self-help applications give you the points that you can touch on yourself. And usually you have to apply more of the self-help to make up for what someone else would do to you.
Okay. So like points on your back, for example.
Right. So there's variation points that we can touch on the body that stimulate the points on the back.
Okay.
And of course, it just takes longer doing that than if someone else was working on you.
Got it.
Normally when we work on someone here in the office, you know, it's usually a 45 to, well, it's usually scheduled by an hour, but usually it's about a 45 minute session of actually working on the person. And it's a little bit more thorough, but at home, you can still accomplish anything. It might just take a little bit more time when you're working on yourself.
Got it. But this also seems like it's ideal for couples. So
yeah,
couples could work on each other.
Yep. A lot of, we have, I would say the majority of the people that come to our classes, we have like a, we used to have a 5-day all day class to teach the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
We have brought that down to a 3.5-day class now, and we have like 20 hours of online education first before they come.
Oh, okay.
And learn. And I would say the majority of people that do the class have just been families, mothers who want to learn how to work on their family. We've had medical doctors, we've had chiropractors, we had DOs, we've had holistic health practitioners, but you never know. I mean, really anyone can learn this. It just depends what you want to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So, well, let me ask you about differentiating this from other healing arts, like, for example, Reiki. Mm-hmm. What do you say when people ask you about, well, how is this similar to Reiki or different from Reiki?
Yeah, I would say it's completely different than Reiki, mainly because there's a whole philosophy on how this works. When you get into Reiki, a lot of times it's just like they don't really know how the energy systems work. They don't really explain the points. It's just we have these patterns on how you place your hands. And they're not really actually touching the person. They're just kind of placing their hands over and they just do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. So it's like when you're working on these specific points, it brings in a whole new dynamic because those points are very unique to what they do and what they control in the body.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Yeah. Now, some of the slides that we showed earlier from your course or the thumbnails show the electric body.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like that book title, The Body Electric, right?
Yeah.
Talk to us about the fact, like a lot of people don't know that there are photon or photoreceptors on your organs deep inside your body. They don't even know that. And then when they learn that, they're like, why? Isn't it just dark in there? No, it isn't, because light penetrates. So talk to us about why are there photoreceptors and the function of light actually moving through tissues?
Yeah, so that kind of gets into the what we call quantum biology. So quantum biology actually started about the 1920s. It didn't really start picking up steam until about the 1940s. And by the 1950s, they were already discovering really interesting things about the cell, and specifically the cell membrane. And what they were realizing is our cells are liquid crystal, and that they could use stimuluses like light, frequency, sound, vibration, and those signals can get inside the cell and then actually cause physiological changes within the cell without giving the body any chemistry.
Uh-huh.
There's no chemicals. So they started learning in the 1950s that, oh, wait a minute, cells actually communicate wirelessly, and there's this light energy that passes through the body.
Yep.
And carries information to the different cells. And, you know, really, eventually, this is where we got the technology for cell phones, is because they learned how cells communicate. And so you think about all of your tissues, all of your organs are made from cells, and this is how cells really work. And when you look at the even acupuncture points now, a lot of people are realizing that the acupuncture points are in the fascia.
Uh-huh.
In the liquid layer of fascia. So fascia has three layers. Two solids and a liquid, like a structured liquid water. Like if you've ever read The Fourth Phase of Water,
right?
Jared Pollock, he talks about how there's these different phases of water. And one we call fourth phase is structured water. And it actually has a different shape and form and function. It has memory capabilities.
Right.
So when you start looking at our fascia being this liquid, and then you have these little points, these little liquid crystals in the fascia, and light is passing from one liquid crystal to another, picking up information and carrying it throughout the body. So when you think about it, our body is like this big telecommunication network of fiber optics and wireless communication. And so the whole body is...
But on the natural side, right?
Yeah, on the natural side.
Yeah, not 5G.
Not 5G, for sure.
One of the most important realizations that I had in my own philosophy of health, because I focus on food and nutrients for so long, but I had left out light. And it was really only a couple of years ago that I came to know the criticality of light. And since then, mm-hmm. I have jogged, you know, shirtless with just short shorts and shoes and socks, just jogging through the forest, getting maximum sunlight at a certain time of day where I get the wavelengths that I want. I want a mixture of the longer red and some of the shorter yellow. So for me, that's like kind of late afternoon, but that also varies seasonally. But you need to understand the position of the sun in the sky, how that changes wavelengths, how that changes the depth of how the light penetrates your body. But since I've done this, and by the way, of course, I never wear sunscreen, and I don't wear a hat. I am trying to get maximum sunlight exposure. No sunglasses. No. No sunscreen, no sunglasses, because I want those photons in my eyes, because that's how they're touching my brain.
That's right.
Through the eyes. And I got to say, since then, man, that was the missing piece for me. Yeah, there you go. You're blocking the blue.
Yeah. That's why we need these things too.
Yeah.
Right.
I know, because we're in indoor environments right now, but yeah. I will counterweight this with natural sunlight, intense natural sunlight.
That's right. And I don't think people realize how much biochemistry is based off the sun.
Uh-huh.
And I think even a lot of our minerals, I think, get activated by sunlight. And, you know, people don't want to talk about that because it sounds like woo-woo or something, but I think a lot of it really has to be activated by the sunlight. And we know there's a whole, circadian rhythms that all are based on the light, whether it's the sun's out or the sun's not out and it's turning into the dawn and dusk. And all those things trigger the body's different photoreceptors and all this whole mechanics of the serotonin and the melatonin. And so much of that is all based on that. Now, on the electrical side, it's the same thing. We actually have entire electrical systems in the body that I talk about in the Alif-Tau Body book that helps take the solar energy and turns it into bioenergy. So your body actually does make energy from sun.
So that's wild.
That's a whole wild concept.
And you don't even need chlorophyll, you know, because we have, you know, I mean, we have hemoglobin, which is almost exactly the same as chlorophyll. Just iron in the center instead of magnesium, right? So, but, you know, chlorophyll is like plant blood.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's the same molecule, just a different element at the center. I mean, people don't realize how much we have in common with plants. And I'm not saying that you could stop eating and just go solar powered yourself all day long, but you're right that there are elements that are activated by light. I was also reading in some of my studies for my course, that light reactivates zombie cells. So what are called senescent cells. So these are cells that are considered dead. Like, I mean, they're still there. They're still intact, but they're just not. Yeah. They're asleep. They're like in a little cell coma or something. Anyway, they're called senescent cells. Light activation can reactivate, bring those back from the dead, basically resurrection through light, which sounds very divine. Mm-hmm. And that's a real thing. Funny.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but Jared Pollack's book, Fourth Phase of Water, and some of his research has been really interesting because he's mainly researched water. But one of the fascinating things he found about this fourth phase, this structured water, was what happened when they shine light on it.
Oh.
And how it could actually generate power and actually pump itself. So they would have these little like straws and the water would flow through, and they wanted to see... sometimes the water would just start naturally occurring to flow through these straws, and they wanted to find out why. When they realized it was when they turned the light on, and when the light shined on the water started, the properties changed. And so, you know, when you start thinking about this, water and light that can create energy, and what was going on in the book of Genesis, you have the Spirit of the Most High hovering over the water and vibrating it and creates light. And it's like, oh, this is all the same principles here again.
Yeah.
When you think of the body's all liquid.
Well, yeah, largely.
Largely.
Except for the piles of carbon and calcium and so on. but yeah, exactly. That's really fascinating. Wow, that's something that I should look into, because we have good microscopes here. We could actually maybe visualize some of that. Anyway,
yeah,
we'll talk about that off camera later. The only really important step, I just want to remind you, let's talk after this interview or later this evening about getting those audio files from you so I can see if we can create those infographics for you. That would be a really cool test case for this app that I'm writing. Let me remind people again, the entire course, the Aleph Tav Body, it's the ATB personal restoration class. It's available free of charge. It's streaming beginning this Saturday, August 8th. And you can watch the whole thing for free just with registration, or you can optionally purchase the course and download all these chapters, all the episodes, plus the bonus materials and more, and the audio that we mentioned. And that helps support us and also Dr. Monzo's work as well. So, Dr. Monzo, is there anything else you want to add here? I mean, this has been a fascinating conversation already. I always love interviewing you because we share such a lot of areas of curiosity about reality.
Yes. I can't really think of anything else we need to share. I think we kind of covered it all.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think people can go to the website and check it out and see what it's all about. There's good descriptions of all the different episodes and everything there.
Yeah. And look, folks, look, you don't need anybody's permission. You don't need to visit a doctor to use this technique. You don't need to go to a pharmacy. You don't need a copay. You don't have to have an insurance policy. You don't need the FDA's permission. Nothing. This is between you and God. You know what I mean? Like, you can do this. Just learn it, apply it, and see how it works for you. That's what's so empowering about this. So thank you, Dr. Monzo, for putting this together. I'm sure this is going to help a lot of people.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for everything you do and for having me on again.
Oh, I really enjoy having you on. We'll have to talk again soon. And
you have to send in your testimonies, people.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will, because we always have people that love the courses and that, you know, try them and send in testimonies or testimonials. So, yeah, we're going to have that. Don't worry about that. Let's just plan to talk off camera about, again, some of the ways that I can help you with the graphics on this course. And then just want to wish you a great rest of your day. And thank you for taking the time to join me here today. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Hello.
Be well. All right. There you go, folks. Dr. Alfonso Monzo. And the course is available at brightu.com beginning August 8th. Or if you want to purchase the course, you can also get it at brightianuniversity.com, all spelled out. That way, no matter when you visit that site, even if you're watching this interview, you know, months later, you'll be able to get the course there. So thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger here at brightvideos.com, and take care, everybody. Be well.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.